No one is a believer at the Great White Throne. No one appearing at the Great White Throne was given belief during this lifetime. Is that their fault? No, it is not ultimately their fault, because only God can impart faith to anyone. Romans 12:3. It has been graciously granted you not only to be believing in him, but to be suffering for his sake. Also Philippians 1:29 and Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace are you saved, and this is not out of you. It is God's approach present. And the reason, verse 9, is to keep anyone from boasting. If we cannot boast for believing in God, then how can those at the great white throne feel self-condemned? Now, having said that, hello, this is Martin Zender. I'm not going to tell you that those at the great white throne will not suffer. They will certainly feel a God-imparted purposeful realization of everything they have tried to do apart from God. And this, don't get tripped up because this is called a judgment, but this will bring light to them. And I will tell you that at the great white throne, everybody becomes believers. Everybody becomes a believer then. But it's not a matter of faith. Now it's a matter of faith. Now it's a matter of, we're all stupid, we've been all hardened, and apart from God invading our well-walled worlds, none of us would believe. It's a miracle for anyone to believe. And those people who will eventually stand at the great white throne, who we might look down upon now, oh, too bad about the great white throne. Well, it is too bad, but it's not their fault. They just weren't given belief today. And of course, the question comes, I just got it again today. I get this question every day. I should have a standard pat answer to cut and paste to the people who always ask me this, but I don't, because I believe in answering everything personally, and if I have to rewrite it 20 times, I will. Why is God then still judging people who he doesn't give faith to? He made them hard. There's Pharaoh standing at the great white throne next to Mother Teresa. Do you realize Mother Teresa and Pharaoh will be standing at the great white throne together, and there will be Adolf Hitler standing next to Billy Graham. Oh yes, Billy Graham is not a believer. Are you kidding? The man believes in salvation by self. What is the difference between that and salvation by a rock? I believe that I'm saved by my pen here. Or I believe that I'm saved by a coffee mug that says Copenhagen all over it. What difference does it make between that and believing in yourself? You're just a mass of soil, of clay from the ground. None of these things are animated apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God must come upon you. And no, God is not a gentleman like... Who was it that said God was a gentleman? The Focus on the Family guy, James Dobson. God is a gentleman, and he's too kind to invade your world. He's polite. He'll tap you on the shoulder and say, "Excuse me, what would you be interested in believing in me?" No. The Apostle Paul said that he became a pattern of those about to be believing. What's the pattern? You get knocked on your ass. That's the pattern. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the pattern of those about to be believing. So why would you want to rob those at the great white throne of their time to know God? That's their time, simple. This is yours, that's theirs. Nobody's left out. The great white throne is a catch-all. That's the Zender phrase for, and the small and the great rise to appear at the great white throne. It's a catch-all. Anyone that was not given faith is there. And we're so tripped up by the word judgment. And I need to correct this. I want to correct it. And the many texts in the scripture will correct it. But the question I always get is, why is God still blaming those who he makes hard? This is the question of the protester of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, Paul makes it clear that God hardens those whom he will and has mercy on those whom he will. We know he will eventually have mercy on all, but for the eons, he has mercy on certain people. You're gifted. Believe me, folks, you've won the lottery here. But so why does he blame people? You see, you forget the fact that there was a day when God blamed us. There was a day when a wave of conviction came over each of us, and we realized that we were being led astray. We were being told lies in the religions in which we were raised, and we realized that God was bigger than the box that our parents told him he was in, told us he was in, and so we come to a place of realization. The Great White Throne is that for these people. That's their moment of realization. It's simply a matter of God favoring you to give you realization early. I've told you many times that salvation comes to all. It's all a matter of time. 1 Timothy 2:6. God is a 1 Timothy 2:6. God is the I can't. I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to paraphrase it. It has to do with time. A lot of people like 1 Timothy 4:10. God is the savior of all mankind. But I like 1 Timothy 2:6. Because the time element is in this verse. That's why I'm going to give that to you now. 1 Timothy 2, starting with verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator of God and humanity, a man Christ Jesus, who is giving himself a correspondent ransom for all. Correspondent, beautiful term. It means here that Christ's ransom for all corresponds to every man condemned by Adam. That's implied here. Paul gets into that in Romans 5. Everyone condemned in Adam. For everyone condemned in Adam, there is a corresponding deliverance given to that person in Christ Jesus. Giving himself a correspondent ransom for all. His ransom corresponds to every single human being. But the testimony in its own eras. The testimony in its own eras. The Great White Throne, I want you to think of it as an era. I don't know how long it will be. The Great White Throne could be 5 minutes. It could be our equivalent of 5 years. It could be 30 minutes. I have no idea. I like to say it's an era. What problem does anyone have with that? But I call it an era only to combat those who think that what God is doing at the Great White Throne, adjusting people, judging people, bringing light to people, reviewing their lives from them, showing them the film of their life, making things finally come to them, making them go, oh, yeah, I see. Many people want this to happen in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now, not everyone is going to the lake of fire. Not everyone is going from the Great White Throne to the lake of fire. But anyway, the Great White Throne, people are alive. The second death, people are dead. Not everyone's going there. Some people are so bad that they're going to the lake of fire, which is the second death. But there is a book of life that's consulted. There's everybody, the small and the dead, at the Great White Throne. There's Billy Graham. There's Hitler. There's Mother Teresa. John Paul, George, and Ringo. There's Napoleon. There's Napoleon Dynamite. There's Genghis Khan. And there's Billy Sunday. All these people are at the Great White Throne, and their lives are shown to them. And they all repent. They all like, yes, you're right. I see it. Why do they? Well, because at the Great White Throne, heaven and earth have fled and there's no place found for them. Verse 11 of Revelation 20. I perceived a great white throne and him who is sitting upon it, from whose face earth and heaven fled and no place was found for them. So these people who are familiar with nothing but the earth, that was their precious little place, the earth. That was the centerpiece of their existence, the earth. They all wanted to be great on the earth. Napoleon, Napoleon Dynamite, Hitler, Billy Graham, they all wanted to be great. Billy Graham, there he is on the cover of Time magazine. I think Hitler once made the cover of Time magazine. God forbid if I should ever make the cover of Time magazine. So the earth, which was everything to these people, is gone. Pulled out from under them like a tablecloth from silverware, from a table setting. Whoosh, gone. They look down. Where's the earth? Oh, shit. Then they look up and there's God on his throne. Suddenly, God has their attention. Ooh, that never happened before. That's a new thing. It's a new thing because God has planned it to be a new thing. So now you know what a miracle it is. I want to go back to this. For us to believe, because we're in the midst of all the distractions, we're in the midst of the great and powerful earth that has such a hold on people, not only with its gravity, but with its activities and frivolities and its accomplishments. And we're delivered out of this while we're in it. That's the miracle. These people at the Great White Throne will be delivered from it, but it will take the earth being pulled out from under them. And to see the majesty of God. None of these people at the Great White Throne are saved by faith. Nope. This is the era of faith. And as I said at the start of the show, faith is a gift. It's a gift of God. None of these people have it. What a gift it is to have it. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's what Jesus said to Thomas. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. We're happy, or we should be. Some days I'm not happy. I got to admit it. But I'm happy about not being happy. That's the trick there. I'm at peace about not being at peace. I'm content with not being content. That's the trick. Don't compound your discontent with not being content about it. Don't compound your worry by worrying about it. I'm worried that I'm so worried. Stop it. Just be worried. Don't worry about your worry. For Christ's sake, what are you doing? You're compounding everything. You're doubling down. Don't. Just be worried. Just be discontent. Just have no peace, okay? That's what I do. It's great. I'm at peace with all that. So this is their day. This is their day. Let them have their day. This is their time, and we're going to be watching them. So this great earth that somehow we're delivered out of, a pure miracle that we believe now. Everybody's going to believe then. This is going to be so easy. Happy are those who have not seen. We're happy. They see. They see God on his throne. They're looking for the earth. Oh, where'd the earth go? Where'd the earth? Oh, I don't see the earth anymore. It's not there anymore because you've been dead for 500 years, or 10, or 20, or 30, or 40, or 1,000, whatever it is. In the case of Napoleon Dynamite, 15 years. And I'm going to talk to you soon, probably Monday, about the judgment at the Great White Throne, because this is the big question, as I said, I always get. Why judgment? Why is God judging people there when he's the one who made them the way they are? I'll give you this hint. You need to see the judgment is for the benefit of those judged. We get this negative, evil, dark connotation of judgment. This is where I will remind you that it is a great white throne. And the judgment is pure, and it is holy, and it is righteous. And it comes from God himself. And we are administering it, I believe. I told you that before. We will have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ now, but in part, in measure. Then we will have it in full. And we will execute righteous judgment through God. God will be judging through us. But judgment, you need to, I would like you to change your opinion of that word. Because as soon as you hear it, thanks to your religious background and training, you think dark thoughts. You think of lightning and thunder. You think of Mount Sinai. You think of judgment that you have. I judged that person. And so you filter the judgment of God through the judgment that you execute upon others as a human being. No, that's not the kind of judgment that's happening at the Great White Throne. It's a purposeful judgment for the sake of those being judged. This is the best thing that could happen to them. Yes, they're going to weep. Yes, they're going to gnash their teeth. Yes, a Kleenex salesman and a dentist will do brisk business at the Great White Throne. So much weeping and so much gnashing of teeth there will be there at that time. But just as you have wept in this world, on this earth, and you have gnashed your teeth in agony, that's a real thing. It's not a figure of speech. Watch. It's not a figure of speech. Just as you have done that now, don't get all weepy and emotional on me and want to spare those people at the Great White Throne. No, because what did your weeping and gnashing of teeth bring you? God used some circumstance in your life to bring you to a realization of the truth. And now you look back at that from the comfort of the breakfast table you're sitting at now or the car you're driving in right now, and you say, oh, thank God for that. Thank God he brought me to an end of myself and a realization of him. Okay. All I'm telling you is don't deny that boon. Don't deny that great favor to those who get it in a different era, to those who get it later, to the myriads of dead, the small and the great, who stand at the great white throne. This is their time to get it. Some of them will get it and die. That's true. Why the shocked look? Some of us get it and die. My friend Charlie Kronk got it and died. My friend Nelson Cardwell got it and died. Some at the Great White Throne will get it and die. Death does not interfere in the least with the ultimate purpose of God to be all in all. Death is merely sleep. There's no passage of time in death. I'm going to get into that when I go into great detail on the second death. And I remind you, I am the world's expert on the second death. I will not be denied. Don't deny me. My title. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar and the world's foremost expert on the second death. But you and I, we're not in the second death right now. We're in the first life, and we're loving life. We're loving life right now because we're looking into these great things of God. We know what he's going to do. We already have the blueprint. It's sitting right in front of us in black and white. It's in every hotel room in America on the top drawer. Compliments of the Gideons. Nobody believes it though, except we do. And we know that this is what God is going to do. And he's going to use this judgment at the Great White Throne, not as the end. Yes, some are cast in the lake of fire, I admit that. But what happens to him after that? That's right. There is a sequel even to the second death. Of course, we're going to get into all of that, but for now, revel in what you have. The fact that you have faith, it's an amazing gift. Not everyone has it. People will believe by sight at the Great White Throne. We believe by faith now, and for that, we have none to thank but God.